Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the December briefing session. It being a little bit later than usual, we're starting at 6 minutes past six. I will declare this meeting open. As you may know, the briefing sessions occur a week in advance of the council meeting. This briefing session is not a decision-making forum, but rather an opportunity for councillors to ask questions and seek further clarification on items listed in the agenda. Kaya Marman, Kaya Yoga, Kaya Bridie, Yana Nook, Nalak Karij, Winji Alak Nini, Nalak Karij, Nidja Bujabal, Wajak Nunga Bujalalak Nini, Kura, Kura, Nijie Borawan. On behalf of the town of Bassendean, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land on which we meet, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation. May their campfires burn forever. I'd also like to remind people that our meetings are recorded and uploaded to the town's website. As you may have noticed at the beginning of this meeting, we do have two councillors who are joining us online. For various reasons, with COVID and all sorts of things happening in the workplace, we are being cautious. So I hope you are patient with us. I'll now go to attendances and apologies. Now, I have two apologies for tonight as well. I have Councillor Palifka and also Councillor Wilding. Councillor Wilding is on leave, and Councillor Palifka is an apology for tonight. Councillors, I'd also like to ask if you have any declarations of interest on any item on the agenda. No, and I don't believe our two councillors tuning in online have any conflicts of interest either. Announcements, I have none to provide tonight. We have no petitions. Now, we'll come to item six, which is statement time from members of the public. Now, if you'd like to make a statement, I'd ask you to raise your hand, come to the podium, give us your name and address, and provide your statement. Statements are generally 2 minutes long. The CEO is just turning on the microphone for you. Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, we're just fixing this up. We're having a few technical difficulties tonight, ladies and gentlemen, so please be patient as we attend to these little issues. We'll get you to sit in front of another microphone. That one's not working. Thank you very much, my dear. Hi. Apologies for the hesitation and the delay there. Thank you.
That's okay. Is the volume okay?
Yes, it's great.
Excellent. I'm speaking on the issue of Nursted Estate and the suggestions to include a heritage overlay of it. The first thing I'd like to say is that heritage is not only about artefacts and architecture. It's also about stories. Stories that can evoke imagination of what that past was like to facilitate appreciation of the present and the future. What we have in Nursted Avenue is a streetscape with a story. It's a story that can be, at a glance, tied to the old maps and photographs that show just a few houses, because those houses are still there. Time has filled up the space in between them, but it's not obscured them. It's a story that starts at one end of the street with a woman from Kent who planted a tree And the tree and the house she lived in are still there. They're iconic, they're heritage listed. She subdivided the land and she gave it the name of her birthplace. The 1902 posters advertising the initial release of the blocks on Nursted Estate boast that it has an orangery. There are still oranges growing on Nursted Avenue. In 1914, newspaper cuttings show that a champion carnation grower lived on Nursted Avenue. There are still carnations growing on Nursted Avenue. At the other end of the street stands the beautiful Earls Ferry House, and it's excellent that that is now being recognised with a proposed heritage area. But we argue that the protection should be extended along Nursted Avenue to the house of the woman who started it all and the tree she planted. Now our street faces a new peril. We've been told that the state government, in a broad brush stroke, is pressuring the town of Bassendean to increase housing densities. We've also been told that the town of Bassendean is relatively powerless to resist this pressure from the state government, but that the town has the power to offer us some protection against rampant high-rise development that could significantly change the streetscape and the story of Nursted Avenue. This power rests with the council's prerogative to proclaim a heritage area over the whole of Nursted Estate. We've spoken to some of the councillors and believe that some share our view. The residents of Nursted Avenue are engaged and willing to take part in this process. So we are asking the council for clarity on the stages and timeline of this process so that the story of our homes and our street and our historic estate can be retold and enjoyed by all.
Thank you, Kate. Kate, I'll get you to return to your seat and I'll ask if anybody else would like to make a statement. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm Jean Anning. I'm a resident of Nursted Avenue as well. I'd like to make a statement about the almost unanimous response via submissions to include Nursted Avenue and 8 Thompson Road in the proposed Earls Ferry Heritage Area. For some historical context, Briersley was built in 1902. The 4 houses in Nursted Avenue that are currently listed on the Town of Bassendean Heritage Survey are of the same era, being built between 1902 and 1904. I'm unsure why other houses in the street that warrant inclusion in the Heritage Survey haven't been added to the heritage list. Historically, the area was part of West Guildford, but it has a significant place in the history of Bassendean. It was made available for residential development in 1902 as Nursted Estate, some 20 years prior to the existence of Bassendean. It wasn't until the 1940s that Briersley was renamed Earls Ferry. And it wasn't until Lot 500 Nursted Avenue was subdivided in the 1990s that Earls Ferry Court was created. And that probably explains the inconsistency of referring to properties as facing Nursted Avenue in the Heritage Development Guidelines. Earls Ferry Court didn't exist prior to that subdivision and prior to the guidelines being created. I suggest that given the relatively recent adoption of Earls Ferry as a name, perhaps the heritage area should more accurately have been called the Nursted Estate Heritage Area, and it should have included Nursted Avenue and Thompson Road, 8 number 8, from the outset. I'd also like to speak about the consultation submissions that were received. 50% of the residents of Nursted Avenue responded, and they were almost unanimous in their support for the inclusion of Nursted Ave and 8 Thompson Road in the proposed heritage area. They took the time to think about what they want, compose a personal response, and present submissions. In contrast, less than 30% of eligible voters took time to tick a box and return a voting slip at the last Town of Bassendean Council election. Nursted Avenue residents are united in valuing the heritage of the special area that they call home. I'd ask that all councillors please make time to read the submissions closely before next week's council meeting and consider extending the heritage precinct to include Nursted Avenue and 8 Thompson Road. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further statements? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Katarina Wolf. I live at number 4 Nursted Avenue, and I'd like to make a statement in regards to the same item, item 9.1. It's noted in the briefing papers today there has been a flurry of submissions by local residents and community groups, and that includes the Successful Action Group and the Bassendean Historical Society, all of which favour the extension of the proposed heritage area alongside Nursted Avenue up to the historical dot residence at number 8 Thompson Road. I'd like to provide some context for why this area is considered so valuable. And indeed, it was the town's own recommendation in the 2005 Heritage Inventory to consider the establishment of a heritage precinct comprising a cluster of buildings that justify protection collectively. So hence the assumption in the area that that actually existed already and was in place. Today's briefing notes refer to only 4 properties in Nursted Avenue that are on the local heritage survey. To put this into context, Nursted Avenue is a short, dead-end road, culminating what was Lot 500, or still is Lot 500. There are only 21 full blocks, one of which is vacant. What the briefing notes fail to disclose is that a further 4 properties have been put forward by their respective owners for inclusion in the heritage survey. And collectively, these Federation era properties, all of which go back to the very early 1900s, reflect the extent of housing in existence at the time Bassendean actually became Bassendean, and the historical photographs to demonstrate that. Earth Ferry House is currently the only property of historic value included in the proposed heritage area, failing to acknowledge other properties that were established around the same time, and they therefore would provide the valuable historical, cultural, and geographical context. This is an area rich of history, valued by the wider Bassendean community, and a core feature on the town's much-loved heritage trail. Based on its current scope, the proposed Earls Ferry Heritage Area fails to meet its objective under LPP4, as failure to extend the area to include Nursted Avenue and properties on the west or opposing side of what is now Earls Ferry Court will adversely affect the character and significance of the heritage place. And I particularly point to the vacant block at number 1 Nursted Avenue, which is in direct sideline onto Earls Ferry Court or the Earls Ferry Court side. Adopting the town's 2005 recommendations of a heritage precinct comprising the cluster of Federation residences alongside Nursted Avenue does not contradict or interfere with the LPS 11. However, it will allow the town and its resident to, and I quote from the town's website, preserve and communicate our shared history and heritage, thereby increasing our capacity to balance today's needs with the long-term interests of future generations.
Thank you. Spot on 2 minutes. Thank you. Okay. Are there any further statements that anyone would like to make? Statement? Yes?
Councillor.
Just your name and address first.
Sharon Abbott, 2 Earls Ferry Court, Bassendean.
Thank you.
I'd like to know why my house isn't part of the heritage.
Okay, so that's question time. We can move on to public question time, which is the next item. So if you'd like to ask questions, but I'll just check if anybody else in the audience would like to make a statement before I move on to public question time. Okay, so we'll move to public question time, and you may ask your question, my dear.
I'm on Earls Ferry Court, and I share it with Jane and Martin. And I'd like to know what's happening with 1A Nursted Avenue, because that's my neighbour. Is there going to be high-rise there?
Is that the vacant block?
Yes.
Okay. We cannot predetermine what will be built there. Obviously, our planning staff assess development applications as they come in against the criteria of our planning scheme. So without a development application having been lodged, it would be very difficult for us to predetermine what might be there. But I will ask Mr. Gibson if he would like to add anything to that.
Through Madam Mayor, broadly your response is correct. We don't have any applications for development approval currently before us. What we do have, of course, is a draft local planning scheme that currently the position of council is to support that property and others being rezoned to residential R60. That hasn't been finalised. It's still waiting an outcome from the minister, which we would expect in early 2024. But at this stage, like I say, the proposal, certainly from council's perspective, is to support the recoding of that to residential R60, and we have not yet received an application from the landowner.
So is R60 three levels up?
Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't like that.
Well, you know, I mean, again,
I really wouldn't.
Again, it's speculation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a property that was a butting railway parade where they only went to one level. So, you know, it's speculation as to what a DA might a development application.
It would be nice if it was kept in the heritage of what's happening in our street, Nursted Avenue and Earlsbury. But the houses across the road from me have only been there for a few years.
Okay. So we're at question time. So basically I will ask other people in the audience if they'd like to ask a question, if you're finished with your questions.
I'll go.
Yes.
I'll leave.
Okay. If anybody else has questions, if you'd raise your hand and come to the microphone. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. Hi, I'm Martin.
Number
one, Earlsbury Court.
Yeah.
My question is, we haven't actually had nobody's come and seen us, you know, about the whole thing. It's already on the heritage listing and the houses at the front are under the heritage precinct, so they can't build anything. So I'm not really sure what this heritage thing is all about.
So the heritage survey, it's been several years now that the heritage survey has existed. It was commenced prior to my coming onto council in 2017. At that time, consultants were employed to, along with councillors and community members who had expertise in the area, to actually survey and look at the entire area and to put forward basically a draft list of properties that were considered to be of heritage value. Now, your property is definitely considered to be of high heritage value.
Yeah.
Naturally, it's a beautiful property. So I believe that list was then fine-tuned. Now, there are property owners who may not wish to be on the heritage list, and if they provide valid reasons as to why they shouldn't be on the heritage list, occasionally a council might approve for their removal from that list. There are others who, I believe that there are others in this audience who have applied to have their properties upgraded on the list. Mm. So it's a document that is always being reviewed. It's reviewed quite regularly, but I'll just again ask Mr. Gibson if there's anything additional that you'd like to add.
Through Madam Mayor, the proposal before council is simply to effectively move the provisions from one policy to another. We have an existing local planning policy 5, which relates to the Earlsbury precinct, and we also have local planning policy 4, which deals with heritage and character. Given that the fundamental purpose of LPP 5 is to protect the heritage and character of the Earlsbury precinct, we thought it would be prudent to consolidate our suite of local planning policies, as is best practice, and we simply transpose the provisions verbatim from one policy to the other. That is the sum of the proposal before council tonight.
Mm. Which is already in place. You know, the houses that were built on Earlsbury had to comply in keeping. So I think is what everybody's asking is to include Nursted in it, because there's a lot of heritage homes in that street, and like to come out of our driveway and I know it's speculative, but if they do build three stories on that block on the corner, that's what Earlsbury will be looking at. You know, you'll come out of Earlsbury and you'll be looking at a block of flats.
So it is question time, and that's more of a statement than a question. What I would suggest is that clearly we will be going on to this item straight after question time, and councillors are open to ask questions of the administration. This is simply a question asking forum, a statement giving forum. It's not a decision making forum, which is the following week. But as explained by Mr. Gibson, in respect to the policy, it's really a tidy up, reducing duplication. And that happens quite often in councils. You'll have policies that might be created at different timelines that have bits of information that's duplicated. So tidying these up every so often is appropriate. But I'll leave it there unless you've got another question.
No, it's all good. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone else with a question? Yes, sir.
Evening, Stuart Young from 9 Nursted Ave. My question is in relation to 1 Nursted Ave. Shouldn't that be included in the Earls Ferry Heritage Precinct? If your town planning scheme goes through to make that R60, that's not going to stop anyone from building three stories. So as Martin said, it's going to directly impede on that heritage area.
I'm going to ask Mr. Gibson to answer that.
Through Madam Mayor, that's a matter for Council to consider at a future point in time. As I've said previously, what is before Council tonight and what the town advertised, as was endorsed by Council back in June, was simply the moving one set of provisions from a policy to another policy. As the report sets out, we understand that the residents of Nursted have certain views, and that's well acknowledged and understood. And on page 11 of the agenda, it sets out the options available to Council. Staff have recommended option 2, which is to acknowledge and accept the desire of those residents on Nursted Ave and commit to reviewing the matter as part of the future precinct structure plan.
What time frame would this be?
Through Madam Mayor, I'd suggest we'd be looking to go to market through a tender process in early 2024, and which could take 12, 18 months potentially to complete the precinct structure plan in its entirety.
Okay. One more question.
Yeah.
Does a three-storey development fit in within a heritage precinct?
Through Madam Mayor, not here to speculate. That is a matter of personal opinion, I'd suggest, but I think what we can be quite sure of is the state government has identified this area as part of the district centre and has expected and continues to expect that it will accommodate development at a density between R60 and R100.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, are there any further questions? Yes, ma'am.
Jean Anning, 8 Nursted Avenue. I would just like some information about the options available to Council when they consider this proposal. As I read the report, it says the first option is to proceed with the policy without any modification and not consider Nursted Avenue as part of the precinct. The second option is to proceed with the policy without further modification and entertain creating a Nursted Avenue precinct. My first question is, would that be a separate and distinct precinct as opposed to being part of the Earls Ferry heritage area?
I think that would be subject to some investigations. I don't think we could definitively at this point in time say yay or nay to that.
No.
But again, I'll ask Mr. Gibson if he would like to elaborate further.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it could be either. There's no fixed position on how these things should look. If there was enough similarities in the areas, you might bundle it into one heritage area as a larger heritage area. But if they were both worthy of protection but required slightly different treatments, you might have them as separate areas. Without wanting to just presuppose an outcome, I'd suggest, given that east of Earlsbury Court is identified for R20 and west of Earlsbury Court is identified as R60 and is yet to be determined by the Minister, and it may well be R100, I would suggest more likely than not two precincts would be more appropriate in this instance if a second precinct was deemed necessary by Council at that time.
Mr. Gibson, can I just check with that? Under draft LPS 11, I think Earlsbury is R2.5 and the next section is R12.5. Would that be correct? You said R20.
Through it, Madam Mayor, quite correct. Although there has been discussions with the department there is a possibility that area will be R20. But it'll be largely a moot point because it won't really change the subdivision potential in that area.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
The third option presented was not to proceed and just maintain the status quo. When I look at the planning and development regulations, though, there is another option that allows proceeding with the policy with modification. That is not an option that has been included in the report.
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Gibson to address that.
Through Madam Mayor, the report specifically says that would be effectively not an option. About halfway down page 11, simply because we haven't prepared any policy provisions as we'd be required to do. We haven't consulted on those policy provisions. So if Council wanted to effectively have a policy position in terms of establishing a heritage area, it would effectively need to take option 3, not do anything, and wait until the precinct structure plan. It's not in a position where Council can simply adopt the policy subject to modifications to extend the heritage area, because that has not been advertised for public comment.
And I asked then, and this was the point of my question, it says the required policy provisions have not been prepared. What are the details about what is required to prepare the policy provisions? And it also says they haven't been subject to community consultation. Is that level of community consultation the same as we've just seen with this process? Because if it is, that's 21 days of advertising on the town website and the customer service centre and the library and notification of owners within the area, which is exactly the process that we've been through with this. So it's not a long process to consult the community.
So your question is, if we were consulting on a different set of parameters for an expanded area, could we go through that consultation process again? Is that correct?
Yeah, and be able to do it more quickly than waiting until the precinct plan eventuates.
Ask Mr. Gibson to respond to that.
Through Madam Mayor, we'd need to run a new process. We'd have to bring a report to Council for Council to endorse the draft policy provisions for the purpose of advertising. We'd then go through the advertising process, as we've done for this instance, and then bring back a subsequent report to Council. Going to the local planning strategy, the highest priority for Council, in accordance with Council's adopted local planning strategy, is the precinct structure plan for the Bassendean Town Centre. So rather than starting a separate body of work that we haven't budgeted for, the suggestion from staff is to acknowledge the desires of those landowners in Nursted Ave and have that body of work form part of the broader precinct structure plan.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Would anyone else like to ask questions? Thank you.
Sorry, Catherine Wolfe, number 4 Nursted Avenue. Very naive question, but I was, am I correct to be under the impression that the LPS 11 and the district centre plan and heritage considerations and associate policies might be connected, but actually two different processes.
Mr. Gibson?
Through you, Madam Mayor, they're all different processes. They all exist under the same regulations, however. But what the staff are suggesting is the preparatory work in terms of investigating the heritage value of the area could be undertaken at the same time and as part of the precinct structure plan for the Bassendean Town Centre.
Yeah, because it seems to be a bit of a chicken and egg thing, and if I look at how the local advertising has happened, it kind of flew down the road. It didn't seem a very, involved, arduous process. So just making that comment there. I do have a question, though, in regards to coming back to the heritage focus and fully understanding that this has nothing to do with the kind of zoning of the area and the density zoning of the area. I note that in the office recommendations in relation to item 9.1, there appears to be some conflation with the town's redevelopment and exactly the point I just tried to clarify of the Nursted Avenue sub-precinct, which is a rather grand kind of description of a very short isolated road. That's quite a good ring to it. With the consideration sought to protect the heritage character of this cluster of Federation's homes. And just want to emphasise, a lot of these homes are nearing the 130th birthday. So just on the way in, I was listening to the value of the Fremantle Bridge. We're talking quite a few decades between those. And this heritage value, for some bizarre reason...
Katerina, I'm just going to ask you to get to a question.
I will. Has been entirely overlooked. So my question is, coming back to the town, emphasising consistently on its website and in community consultation and reports that it really values that heritage character of its town and what it means in terms of going forward, looking back, I'd like to know how the town seeks to protect its local heritage for future generations, as it says on the town's website, in the context of that increased infill pressure and targets, and that increased pressure to fast-track future developments. And I completely get that we do need infill targets and we need more housing, but it's how are we going to balance that and how's the town going to do that?
Okay, so I'll ask Mr. Gibson if he'd like to provide...
through you, Madam Mayor, we do it by having local planning policy 4, heritage and character, which identifies areas for protection. They can obviously be reviewed from time to time, but at the moment we have 3 areas and we next week will potentially have 4. I suppose even if council pursues option 3 in the officer report, we will still have 3 heritage areas and we'll also have local planning policy 5, which is tantamount to a heritage area. In addition to that, we have a heritage list which confers statutory protection on a number of properties throughout the district. And we also have a local heritage survey, which is doesn't provide any statutory protection for places, but it certainly provides a inventory of those places with at least some heritage value. And that, I suppose, would be the sum of the town's efforts in terms of protecting heritage from a planning point of view. And that's obviously distinct from any efforts the town might pursue in terms of promoting the local heritage of the area.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll draw a line underneath question time now. I think we've gone through everybody in the room. Well, I'll ask the gentleman if you would like one. No? Okay, thank you. I do have a question that was emailed in from Mr. Yates of Thompson Road. I'm actually going to ask the staff if they would just respond to that, and it'll appear in the minutes. The response will provide in the minutes of the meeting when they're published. On that note, we will move on. I don't believe we have deputations tonight. We were going to, but they've been deferred to next week. We'll now move on to the reports. And this is an opportunity where the officers can provide a short summary and councillors can ask questions. So The first report is 9.1, Draft Amended Local Planning Policy for Heritage and Character. Mr. Gibson, would you like to kick off with a
through Madam Mayor, nothing to add. We've obviously been through it for the last 10 or 15 minutes, so I think we're all across the salient issues. Apart from to say that the, as I suggested earlier, that the desires of landowners along Nursted Ave are well understood and acknowledged, and we've tried to balance that out as best as possible in the officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillors, do you have questions? Councillor Ames.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and through you, firstly, thank you very much for all the questions that have come from the gallery this afternoon. It's made my life a little more easy with all the information that's come from Madam Mayor and from Luke Gibson. I've just got one further question. Am I of correct understanding that you've got three options that we've obviously identified this evening? Point two is regarding proceeding with the policy and obviously having an opportunity to entertain the separate area in Nursted Avenue as a heritage area. That actually is included within one, that actually is included within the officer's recommendation for the report in itself. Is that correct in saying that?
Through Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. Of the three options, we think on balance that there is at least merit in considering a heritage area for the Nursted Ave precinct. That's not to say that it would ultimately be supported by town staff or ultimately be adopted by council, but it is certainly worth looking into, and we consider the best way of doing that is to consider it as part of the Bastendean Town Centre precinct structure plan.
Can I ask if either of the councillors that are online wish to ask any questions? Councillor Carter.
Oh, thank you very much, Madam Mayor. My question is that if the precinct structure plan is going to take around 18 months, what sort of protections, if we do eventually decide on a heritage precinct there in Nursted Avenue, what sort of protections can be put onto that place in the intervening 18 months?
Through Madam Mayor, there could be, I suppose, probably the main protection in terms of new development will be the likelihood that any development proposals in this precinct will need to go to formal design review through our design review panel that we share with the City of Bayswater. So that won't be a protection for the places themselves, but it will be a layer of regulation in terms of the control of new development in that area. I suppose otherwise, if all the landowners in that precinct value the heritage and maintain their properties, there should be no major threat to those places. Obviously, the concern that was raised to the submissions is the compatibility of new development, and that was raised by a gentleman earlier. And that's a genuine issue that will need to be considered as part of any future development proposals should we receive an application. But like I say, there's the normal development assessment process with the planning framework that applies, but there's the additional layer that would apply in this instance, which would be formal design review.
Okay. Councillor Carter, do you have a further question?
No, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Okay. I'll just ask a question if everyone doesn't mind. Noting that the Kenny Street Heritage Precinct area is coded R60 under draft LPS 11, I'm just curious why the zoning of the potential zoning of R60 at Success Hill South in Nursted Avenue might provide some issues. I'm trying to actually grapple with how we can actually have a heritage precinct over another area that's zoned, going to be zoned R60 as opposed to this particular area in Nursted Avenue.
Through Madam Mayor, the Kenny Street precinct is proposed to be R20.
There are some sections that are R60, are there not?
There are not.
There are not. Okay, I'm going to look at that map a lot closely. Okay. Okay. I'm interested in, I think this is a question that's been asked in different ways. I am interested in the time difference between when LPS 11 is gazetted and the time it takes to complete the structure plan, how we might potentially fast track point two in the officer's recommendation on page 11. I note that it point two says proceed with the policy without further modification and separately entertain the identification of the Nursted Avenue precinct as a heritage area. So I'm just curious about, in that interim period between when LPS 11 is gazetted and the precinct structure plan is completed, I'm wondering what potential outcomes there might be for that area if there's no heritage overlay in that interim period.
Through Madam Mayor, I'd probably just defer back to my answer to Councillor Carter, that if we receive an application, it will be assessed as is required in accordance with the framework that is applicable at the time, but there will also be the additional layer of the design review process.
Okay. Any other questions from councillors, including the two councillors online? Okay. I do have another curiosity question, which possibly doesn't relate to the policies, but in late 2020, that section of Success Hill south of the railway line was going to be a special control area, principally because of the access issues. Those access issues continue irrespective of LPS 11 being gazetted. Would I be correct in assuming that development, future development in that area is still going to be constricted until the access issues are sorted out?
Through Madam Mayor, no, that's not correct.
No.
Future development will be assessed on its merits if and when an application is submitted. One of the key considerations will be the impact on traffic, both into and out of and within the precinct. But there's not a hard prohibition on development. It will just be a factor that informs the assessment of any application we receive.
Thank you. I was trying to get my head around the original reasons for putting a special control area over that one initially in 2020 and how it's evolved and changed over the interim period. So thank you for that. Any further questions, councillors? Okay. So with that, we will go on to the next item, which is 9.2, calendar of meetings for 2024. I don't think there's anything particularly controversial about this one. So are there any questions, councillors? Okay, so we'll move on to 9.3, additional funding for drainage project at Jubilee Reserve. If I could ask the officer to provide some overview on this one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is before Council to consider some additional funding required for the works out at Jubilee Reserve. The works were identified by the town staff during the budget period for the 22-23-24 budget. And and there were some decisions that were made during the budget process to request the Caledonian Soccer Club to contribute to the funding. And that's what was stated in the budget. We've requested the club to contribute, but the club has demonstrated that they have contributed significant funds to upgrading the infrastructure within the club over the past year or so. And the town staff being infrastructure, are putting this forward for council to consider the additional funding required to complete the works. The works are considered required by the infrastructure. It's improving drainage, soak wells, pathways, which is all the town's infrastructure within the car park, and we think it's necessary work to be undertaken.
Councillors' questions? No. Yes, Councillor Ames.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and through you to Mr. Adams. Just trying to fathom out where all these works are, in what vicinity of Jubilee Reserve. Can you just provide a bit of information about that? You said soak wells and all the above, so where are they all going?
It's adjacent to Caledonian Soccer Club. It's in the car park there. There are soak wells that are being installed in and around the building, so it helps to protect the town's building asset. There'll be soak wells going into the car park, some additional curbing to help manage the drainage and the drainage getting into the soak wells, and some path as well. That'll improve the access for the players coming to and from the change rooms onto the field.
Thanks, Peter Adams. Just a follow-up question. That will obviously include all asphalting and everything to do with, I suppose, the aesthetics of the area as well, to make it all look quite schmick.
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes. They're re-asphalting some of the car park to reset the levels to ensure the drainage operates as efficiently as possible.
Councillors online? No. Can I just ask, the works that were done on the veranda, was that by the club? I thought that was either a grant from Mr. Kelly or a partially grant from us as well.
To you, Madam Mayor, the works to the veranda was undertaken by the town. That work didn't include the grant from Mr. Kelly.
Yes, it was a,
I think that was a funded,
match, wasn't it?
I think it was fully funded by the town, if I remember correctly.
So the reason I ask is because I thought that, I might be wrong, but I thought in the report it said that, so on the bottom of page 15... it states that the town's approval without the town's financial support included renovations of an extension to the existing change rooms, extension of the existing veranda, and minor improvements internally. Now, these are the works that are supposedly equated to $45,000 that the club paid for, so that's why I was wondering why that was included in there, because my memory was that that was part of the budget allocation for the town the year before last.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Those works are separate works to that veranda.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, councillors? Okay, we'll move on to 9.4, accounts paid. I haven't seen any questions come through from councillors on that one, so if you do have questions, please email through to the administration in the next day or two, to Mr. White. We've also got the next one, which is 9.5, disposal of lot 103, Iverson Place, Bassendean. And I'll just ask if you'd like to provide a little bit of an overview on that one. Is it Mr. White or no, Mr. Gibson?
Through Madam Mayor, this one's reasonably straightforward. Simply to note the outcome of the recent tender process looking to dispose of number 14 Iverson Place, and obviously under the Act and the regs, we now have a bit more freedom to engage a real estate agent to try and sell it on our behalf. It's always tricky to try and sell land via tender. It's not particularly common, and I don't think many people are comfortable buying land that way, so it's not a complete surprise that we didn't have much interest. But the upshot is we now have the ability to actually use a real estate agent to go to market and sell it in a more typical fashion.
Okay. Councillors, questions on this one? Can I just check, we initially spoke about the investigations of that site for potential contamination, geotech report, I think it was. That's all been completed and it will be made available to the real estate agent?
Through Madam Mayor, yes it will. We made it available as part of the tender documentation, so we'd make the exact same package of information available to whoever we choose to sell on our behalf.
Okay. I'm not sure whether you might want to include that in the report for next week at all, given it's... No? Okay. Any other questions, councillors? No. Okay. So the last item is the RFT for Bassendean Oval Lighting. Again, if you'd like to provide an overview on that one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, yes, this another tender process, perhaps not quite as straightforward as Iverson, but the purpose of the report is to bring the result of the tender process to council for decision. Unfortunately, yeah, the town received only one response to the tender, and the scoring by the town's tender evaluation panel did not reach the required threshold. This is obviously a really important project for the town. That's attracted state and federal funding from the WA Football Commission, a substantial contribution from the Swan Districts Football Club, and also municipal funds committed by the town. So should the council resolve as recommended, the town will need to devise a second approach to market. However, the report before council at this point is about finalising the current tender process, and consequently it's recommended that council declines all offers for this tender.
Thank you, Mr. White. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Ames.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and through to either Mr. White or to Mr. Woods, you said that there was a supplementary way about going about this if we were to decline the current submission. I believe through talks last week off record that it's sort of already in place. Is that something you can, I suppose, voice this evening so we've got a bit of understanding about how the town's going to go about it?
Yes, thank you, Councillor, and through you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely, as soon as this result looked imminent, we started looking at what the alternatives are, because what we really would like to try and do is come up with an alternative approach to market to get a desired result without undue delay to the project. That's the ultimate aim. We've had internal discussions at this point about how we can go about reviewing the specifications and potentially making those more broadly applicable, I suppose, to the market, in the hope to try and get a better response when we do go out. We are restricted by the regs, so we will have to go through a similar process to what we went through last time. But we've also taken a bit of feedback from some of the attendees at the mandatory site visit, and we're continuing to make those inquiries and also engage with other local governments who have embarked on similar projects. And we believe we'll have a revised approach reasonably early in the new year.
But I would be correct in saying that the specifications will still be as we've set out, yet the way to get to those specifications will be quite flexible moving forward?
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. I think that's certainly an approach we'd be looking at, is to define outcomes as opposed to inputs, and allow the market to come back to the town in terms of inputs.
Okay, so if there are no further questions, We will move on to 6.7, which was an item included in the agenda via Docs on Tap.
9.7.
Just looking for the heading of that item. We'll just call it trees at the moment. anyway, I do not plan to ask questions on this one. I'd rather just put something in writing to you tomorrow. But I'll ask the other councillors if you'd like to. And councillors online. Okay. So councillors...
No questions. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Councillors, just to make you aware, that 9.7 is on Docs on Tap. And if you printed out or looked at your agendas early, you might have missed that one. So just to make you aware, to actually have a little look at that one if you have missed it. Okay.
Madam Mayor, can I just state to the councillors that any questions on this item would be appreciated via email prior to close of business tomorrow, because yep. Phil is taking extended leave and he has carriage over this project. So we're trying to, he'll have a replacement here at the council meeting, but any questions, technical questions, will need to be asked via email prior. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm sure it's a well-deserved holiday. So... sorry, councillors, just give me a minute. The pages are not cooperating. Okay, so I don't believe we've got any other confidential business at this moment in time. Oh, yes, we do. Okay, that's item 11, which is the notice of motion that... I moved. Councillors, do you have any questions on that notice of motion? It's pretty straightforward. Okay. Which then brings us to the closure of the meeting at 7:03. The next briefing session will be subject to... adoption of the 2024 calendar at the December Ordinary Council meeting, and the next Ordinary Council meeting to be held on Tuesday, the 19th of December 2023, commencing at 6 p.m. Thank you, everyone. If we can wait until the recording is turned off.